Hello and welcome to Nintendo Podcast System with myself, Matthew, as well as Jack and Sam. And joining us from Monster Hunter Online, we have Angela, Izzy, Gary, and Danny.
Hello.
Hello.
It's party. It's a big party podcast.
Yeah, this is our biggest group of people. I think the biggest up until this point was five, and that was with the Nintendo Dads, and that was our E3 special last year. Now we've got seven. Whoa.
Sorry.
That's a lot.
It's enough, really, isn't it?
Far too many humans, even for online.
Humans?
Humans. Nerds. It's all good. anyway.
So, what though our four guests are doing, they've set themselves a challenge, as they have said, in that they're trying to play Monster Hunter whilst also doing the podcast. So we'll see how that plays out during the course of the show. Hopefully it turns out well. Hopefully.
You're just going to hear a lot of random words, and it sounds like we've all got Tourette's. It's not.
Yeah,
we're just
light swearing. Very light.
Is it in the face?
Break its face. Take its tail. Everything.
So you're playing the latest version, aren't you, of Monster Hunter?
Yeah, we're playing Generations.
Generations. And what are you hunting at the moment?
Naga Cougar.
Naga Cougar.
Nice classic.
Like a bat dude.
Bat dude! Bat dude.
No, it's the name.
It's
kind of like a lizard cougar thing.
Lizard cougar.
A lizard cougar bat thing.
Yeah. I don't know.
You're ruining my
immersion. Oh my god. Anyway, so for our listeners, what is it that you guys at Monster Hunter Offline do exactly?
Oh, what do we not do?
Well, it's kind of in the name, really. It's a social community group mainly focused around Monster Hunter. So when the old Monster Hunter games, they were all offline. And so you just kind of meet up with your friends and you play together, you know, using the local network. But when 4U came about, suddenly you had the ability to play online over the internet. And it kind of lost a little bit of the magic. So we had the idea of making one on offline where we could get this community going and get people back together and, you know, actually shout and scream and cheer at each other in the same room.
Okay.
More or less.
That's great.
Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate also had online play for the Wii U and the 3DS. But when 4 came out, there was no microphone function. And also, again, the fact that we love offline. You can't beat offline. You can't beat sitting together and doing this.
Yeah.
You know, again, there's four of us in the living room. You should see our faces. And we're all playing together in my house, and yeah, it's a lot of fun. So we want to keep it offline. We think that's still something that's quite popular.
Yeah, definitely. You can't beat that game when it doesn't disconnect.
Yeah.
And no one crashes out, and they
yes.
go, "Oh no, my internet! Wait, you're offline! Aha!"
I can definitely agree. It's nice to get people together, and especially like Street Pass groups are sort of similar sort of thing. Mm. But yeah, it's definitely good to see it. People are still doing that, still getting involved, so yeah.
It's really nice to have you guys on finally. We've been trying to get you guys on for a while, so it's good to have you guys finally on. Anyway, so what have you guys chosen for the intro music for this episode?
The Monster Hunter main theme. How does it go, Angela?
Would you like the digital or the vocal version?
Both.
We have wonderful acapella.
Don't get stage fright now.
Enter the da 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 da
Thank you very much for that. It's brilliant.
So with that, let's move on to the next section. So this is the news section right now. We've only limited ourselves. Well, in other words, I really couldn't be bothered to find. Well, four topics we have, so it's not too bad. Not too much, but then again, not too little. So it's a good amount. So first of all, we've got that Darkrai is coming to Pokken Tournament.
Yes!
He was revealed on Thursday the 14th. So that was quite recently, and it'll be coming to the arcade version in Japan on the 20th. And on the same day, he will also be coming to Wii U, and I believe for free. Which is great. So, first of all, I think it's great that Pokken Tournament is continuing to receive support. Because it's a great fire, and I think it's getting back in.
How long has it been out now?
Into...
Not
that long. Three months.
More than... No,
as of...
2 months, I think.
Really, already? God, that's gone really quick.
Oh, 4 months, yeah.
Jeez.
So is this is a new DLC to update the game?
Yeah. Just... So Darkrai is a completely new character. He looks quite cool. He seems to be like more technical.
It's kind of weird though, because they said they weren't going to make any more DLC for Pokken, and then all of a sudden we got these characters.
Well, no, they haven't made any DLC for it.
They said they weren't going to.
Yeah.
They lied.
Well, you kind of have to keep, like, if it's an arcade game in Japan, you have to keep it updated all the time. They probably feel, well, might as well put it on the Wii U.
And it's not like they're short of possible roster, is it?
Yeah.
I think we're up to 800 so Pokemon now?
Yeah, 700 and something, I think.
It's 721.
And a half.
22. And a half.
And a secret one, and an extra one, and...
You can get
at the moment,
it's around 720.
I think if you add all the like mega evolutions and stuff, they are probably on to about 800 now. So it's crazy. Yeah, it's fun.
They can do a lot more Pokemon to showcase for the game. I think when the game first came out, and we were kind of promoting it as well, because we kind of do these free hunt Saturdays where we promote all kinds of Nintendo games, and we found that. We really, really, really enjoyed the game. It was very, very addictive, but we wanted more characters. You know, we wanted much more variety of Pokemon. So if they are doing these DLCs, they can really do it, and more kind of levels of the game as well. More fighting arenas. Mm. So that would be excellent that they are going to start bringing in some updates.
It helps keep the whole thing alive, because like you look at Splatoon, it's been around for a year, and they've constantly kept it quite interesting and fresh with all the extra DLC and maps and all that. So it'd be interesting to see how they carry this on.
I have heard rumors that there are two more characters coming as well.
Ooh.
And I may know who they are, but I will not be able to tell you. So.
that's mean. You're being mean, Joe.
But yeah, there's definitely more to come from. Definitely.
Okay. Actually, speaking of Splatoon, we've also got a kind of sad announcement. Slightly sad. It's going to be the final Splatfest.
No.
But it'll be from.
But it's the ultimate Splatfest.
It is. Because not only, well, I believe fans will be able to vote for the stages that will be part of the Splatfest. There'll be the ultimate showdown between Callie and Marie. So the obvious question.
Yeah.
Are you team Callie or team Marie?
Marie.
I can't.
Callie, definitely Callie.
Marie, I'm going to go with Marie because you said Callie, so.
Oh, well.
I have to be against. We have to have some kind of challenge, woman. We're always... Side by side with
everything else. I'm Team Mari.
Guess what?
Oh, I thought you said you were Team Kelly.
No, I said Team Mari.
Oh! Well, I'm Team Kelly.
Don't jump the gun. I've said Mari all the way, so don't you dare.
This is where. Oh, no, I'm going to
bring up a tweet.
I'm on Team Kelly. So.
Hey, good man, Jack. Good man. Anyway. So, as you can see, this is already discussing friendships to be broken.
Or to be strengthened, depending on whose side you're on.
The winning side.
Pretty much, yeah. It will be happening from this Friday coming, which will be the 22nd, to Sunday the 24th.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so it's kind of sad to see Splatfest come to an end, really. Because they were one of the best features liked.
Yeah, but the features in themselves have not gone, as they are still... Well, I say it's still available, but they're still slightly available in forms of the music and that through the new Amiibos. Mm. The Callie and Mari ones.
Yeah.
So you can still enjoy all that amazing Splatfest music and stuff if you get the lovely Callie or Mari Amiibo.
I think the only thing I'm going to miss...
Like, can you get special Splatoon, like, NES-style games? With
I don't think you can.
I thought there was one you get with...
Like, there were three that you come up with, the original three that were released?
It's from what I've seen and used on both of them, I don't think there's any games in them. It's just music and setting the plaza out to the Splatfest environment.
Well, see, that's the thing. It's like, I would have loved it if, like, they made the stages that way as well. Like, it would just be a cosmetic change more than anything. But I can see, like, if that could be a problem, if, like, it does, like, take more than just a cosmetic change to change it into... the Splatfest setting.
Yeah, sadly, it shuts off the gates to the Splatfest zone. So, I know.
That's the most disappointing thing, I think. Like,
I was slightly upset when I found I couldn't go in. So I was like, oh, so I've got to exit out of this then.
So that's the high. Anyway, just before we move on, Jack, I think I know which two Pokemon you were talking about being added to Pokken.
I can't say if I, you know.
All right. Well, I missed this bit when reading the Darkrai article on Nintendo Life.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently it says the 1.3 update file for the Wii U game references not only Darkrai, but Scizor and Empoleon as well.
Yes, Scizor, definitely for the win.
No, I'm looking forward to Empoleon. Like Piplup was my first Pokemon ever, so. I'm really looking forward to Empoleon coming
in. Oh, you're so young.
I know.
Back in my day, Bulbasaur, Squirtle, and Charmander were our first Pokemon.
During the great Pokemon
we
War.
We only had 150.
Black and white televisions. Colour? What is this colour you speak of? And 151 was all you could ever get that you could actually get really quick in the game. So
I had to use streetlights to see where I was going.
You young whippersnappers.
Oh,
back in my day. So good. You forget, we're kind of the original generation.
Yeah. I don't think I'm that old, but yes, actually,
you are very old.
Good memories.
Anyway,
ancient memories. Yeah.
Moving on, Nintendo is opening a Kirby-themed cafe in Japan.
Oh, I want to go.
Yeah, me too.
I know.
How does that work, though? Kirby. Are you going to get like jelly-shaped food, and you've got to go and like suck it in really
suck
quick
it
in one go,
one.
Not like poking on it or something.
I just want the waitresses to be dressed up as giant Kirbys.
What, and they eat you and they poop you out?
Well, no, I just love the idea of these huge spears wobbling down the aisles. You know,
oh, that would be awesome. Cool.
And then they morph into you as they spit you out as well.
Like, little Waddle Dees going around with like cakes and stuff. That'd be amazing.
Yeah!
Kirby cakes. Oh, man. Oh, I want some Kirby cake now.
Kirby cake. And then the pickles. For those maximum tomatoes somewhere, yeah, I guess. Because that'd be weird.
Wait, let's go spend 600 quid on a plane ticket to go down just so we can eat there and go home again. It's all good.
Yeah.
To be honest, themed cafes in Japan is quite extensive. So.
Yeah.
It does sound
apparently it's...
Wait. Danny's been to Japan quite a lot. Danny used to live in Japan. And apparently there's a Japanese prison cafe.
Yeah.
Really?
All the inmates would break out, and alarms would go off, and yeah, it was fun. People would try and get in.
Great fun.
Did you get served like tea and cake in your cell?
Yeah.
Really?
You say that like it's like, why would you not know this answer?
Well, yeah, of course, doesn't everyone get...
We've got enough Japan.
Now I want to go to Japan even more now.
He's covered some sort of trauma.
I really want to go to Japan now.
You sure this was a calf, right?
Yeah.
He went actually a prison.
Yeah, it was a real prison.
Oh my god.
Yeah. Shinjuku. Okay. What, the prison was in Shinjuku or the cafe?
Both.
Oh, yeah, sorry, that's in your mind. Okay.
The prison is next to the cafe.
So, Kirby.
I love how, like, yeah, we've just gone from Kirby to, like, breaking out of prison. what a segue. But, yeah, apparently it'll be opening. Yeah, we've got open up in August, according to the article. And as you can guess, we'll have Kirby themed food and drink. But one thing that I wanted to point out is that, like, I believe Himeshima said in the recent financial meeting at the end of June in that they're working towards getting Nintendo-themed eating establishments, like cafes and restaurants, if you may remember. So I'm really hoping that more of this kind of stuff will be coming over to Europe and America.
We might get that. No, you'll get like one in
New York.
New York. Well, the you know, funny. One in London, like you know, in Central and stuff like that.
The but I... store, right?
Yeah, and a Pokemon store.
Mm. Yeah.
So yeah, we need a Pokemon store first.
Well, they have one.
Oh, we do.
Like a few days or a week or something like that.
That's but just not
like,
long enough.
They sold out of like everything right away.
Was I'm it sure just a pop up though?
Yeah, it was a pop up. I'm sure that if they had like instead of that. M&M's place or Nickelodeon in Leicester Square, if they had a Pokemon Center, they'd just sell much stuff.
I'd
be there like every week after school. No, but like, I'd be like really annoyed if it just turns out to be like a Mario Cafe or something like that.
Well, it'd probably start off with like... America and then eventually they'll bring one to London.
I wouldn't mind a Mario Cafe, but it's like. Recently, Nintendo partnered up with this frozen yogurt company over in America. And it's like, oh, Nintendo-themed frozen yogurts. It's like, oh, this is pretty cool. Mm. But all of them were Mario characters. It's like, why are you saying Nintendo characters when they're all Mario characters, specifically? Why not just say Mario? Mm. Now, if I want a Nintendo-themed cafe, I want, like, it branching out to a lot more than just Mario. Like, I want to see Kirby, Legend of Zelda, Metroid, Pikmin.
Oh, yes.
You know, all these other franchises that, like, I want to see made known. You know, they've got to be taking like more risks and introducing people to more than just Mario.
Maybe
because like that.
They thought by calling it Nintendo themed, you just associate Nintendo all round. So walk in, it's only Mario. But
I think it's probably for parents as well. Like people know that Nintendo is a safe brand, so. Mm-hmm. Mario, just any old Mario.
Yeah, if you said Nintendo to my mum, she'd be like, "Oh, Mario," and I'd be like, "Yeah." Yeah.
Pretty much, yeah.
It's like that meme with the Pokemon. Like, your mum always calls every bit of Pokemon Pikachu until it actually is Pikachu. And they just call it something else. So, but it's, yeah, I can sort of see where you're going with it.
Hey, I'm a mum. And my kids come to me for Pokemon help.
There you go. You're a cool mum.
She's kids a cool mum. Mum, I'm stuck in a dungeon. I don't know how to get out. And I'm like, give it here. And then I spend like 20 minutes getting them to Victory Road. And then, so my kids actually don't learn how to play the game because they just give it to me. And I love the game so much. I'm like, oh, no, you're stuck. I could leave you alone or I could do it for you.
What's that? Oh, my God. That's ridiculous.
You give a game to my mum, she'll break it more than bloody help you with it.
My children also steal all my Pokemon. Like, I come back in my game and they transferred all my good Pokemon out. I'm like, no!
I would actually cry.
but they're my kids. I love them. Plus, you know, it's all good. It's for the greater good.
It keeps them happy.
They've inherited them anyway, right?
When I die, they'll inherit all my Pokemon, so it's all fine.
I'd love to have that written in someone's will. Just like...
my original Charizard from 1995. Still in my
new
cartridge.
That's seismic toss.
Oh, wow.
I gave him Fly back in the day. He still has it.
Anyway. Just wrapping up the news section here. Nintendo have announced their new console, but it's not the NX, unfortunately. it's the Nintendo Classic Mini, Nintendo Entertainment System,
which,
as it suggests, is a mini Nintendo Entertainment System.
It's really cool.
It looks really cool. So it'll be selling for around £60 over here, and the controller will cost about a tenner. And that's roughly the same prices as in US as well.
Controller, you can.
It's got preloaded games, and they're not bringing any games to add to it. So whatever's locked into the console, that's yours to enjoy, but you won't be getting any more games to add in.
But those titles, you have 30, you've got... Yeah. Shall I list all of them? Or...
List as many as you can.
I try
it. Do it! Do it in a Pokemon, like a Pokemon. Fight... Rap.
Alright. No, I can't do that. I can't sing for anything. Bloom Fight, Bubble Bobble, Castlevania, Two Summons Quest, Donkey Kong, Donkey Kong Jr., Double Dragon, The Revenge, Dr. Mario, Excitebike, Final Fantasy, Galaga, Ghosts and Goblins, Gradius, Ice Climber, Kid Icarus, Kirby's Adventure, Mario Brothers, Mega Man 2, Metroid, Ninja Gaiden, Pac-Man, Punch-Out featuring Mr. Dream, Star Tropics, Super C, Super Mario Brothers, Super Mario Brothers 2, Super Mario Brothers 3, Tecmo Bowl, The Legend of Zelda, and The Legend of Zelda 2, The Adventure of Link. And that's all you're getting for only 60 quid.
Gotta catch them all. Gotta catch them all.
Gotta catch them all.
However.
With more to see.
There is a good point towards this, though, that no one's mentioned. The controller with it, you can actually use on the Wii U as well.
Ooh. Oh, that's true, isn't it?
And you can use it on any of the NES and SNES games.
On the virtual console.
Which is a great little extra.
I might get it just for that, maybe.
No, get it for games.
Oh,
yeah.
For amazing. I mean, to be honest, 50
quid, that's a really good deal.
Yeah.
Because if you think you try and buy that console now with all those games, you'd be paying at least 200 to 300.
Well, that's the thing. It's a collector's item. Those games are very, very hard to find.
That's true.
And you can literally unplug it, put it in a bag, take it around your mate's house, and then just continue.
You won't have to spend half hour trying to get it to turn on and like blow in every cartridge.
Blow into all the cartridges, hoping that your spit, you know, fixes everything.
Turning it on and off again.
Oh god.
And then realizing Then realising you put Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles in and you didn't actually want to play that because it's awful.
Why would you not? That was an amazing game.
The first one was awful.
It was awfully good.
Oh, God.
If only this console came with a miniature copy of Nintendo Power as well. I used to love that magazine.
Oh, that'd be great.
If only this console was actually DNX, then...
Oh. Yeah. Is that so?
If they actually release DNX this year, then that would be good. But no, I think like this would do well just based on a collector's item. I believe,
well, basically, this is going to be like the number one Christmas present. Definitely. And again, the other thing that's also very good at it is obviously a lot of families, a lot of younger people are picking up Nintendo games and playing them, but these go right back to our roots, and these are much more simpler games to play than any. I mean, my son's got autism and quite low functioning autism, and he has learned to play the Wii U even though he can't speak, and he lacks a lot of like normal functions.
I can't wait for him to
can play Yoshi Woolly World really, really well. And it's amazing to watch him now, how quickly he can do the levels. But with this, I can buy this. He'll pick it up. The controls are so simple. And he'll be able to go through and play all these other games, that he'll enjoy. So Pardon?
Didn't I meet your son at the event? I'm sure I did.
No.
You met my daughter. Pikachu. Many families come to this.
Oh, God. Anyway.
No, no.
Yeah, like stuff like that.
We want children. We want families there.
Stuff like that, like, that's great to know because it shows like the wide appeal Nintendo still has. So that's really good to hear that. Like even the newer generation are being excited about what Nintendo used to offer. But hopefully this will draw in new customers for the NX as well.
Well, we don't know much about the NX. They're keeping that really hushy-hushy.
Nah.
And it's like, please, just tell us just tell anything, us. Something, you know.
I can't buy something if I don't know what it is.
But then I want it because it sounds really cool.
I think they're probably keeping it all hush hush because they want to sort of have some surprise to it. Because every time we sort of get leaks and stuff from the internet, it's like, oh, it's ruined. Now it's no surprise.
Of all the leaks... All the leaks seem to contradict themselves, and it's just like half of them are just these news articles that just trying to get a story and try and get views on their website.
Pretty much.
We'll be releasing more information September Tokyo Game Show.
Cool. When about is that?
Sorry?
What about is Tokyo Game Show?
The second to third week of September. Cool. Like, they never actually go to Tokyo Game Show. They haven't been for more than 10 years now, but they normally release information around it, you know.
Well, we mentioned it before because like a lot of the consoles are released at Nintendo. Well, they talk about it at their own event, and like they used to use Space World as a big sort of section to show off the GameCube originally. And...
when was the last Space World though? Like 2003.
Exactly. Yeah. So
I think it'd be a good time to bring him back though, like because I think alongside this new console that's meant to bring Nintendo back to its glory days of like the Wii and the DS. I feel that would be underwhelming to just do it as a simple live stream, so I think it would be good to have like an actual press conference where people can try it out, so on and so forth. But who knows?
Cool.
We need to wait and see. Anyway, so that about wraps up it for the news section, so let's move on to the next section. So this is the what have we been playing section right now. We will be talking Monster Hunter Generations, and when I say we, I mean Sam and our four guests, because me and Jack haven't got Monster Hunter Generations.
I've played very limited amount.
They're a bunch of scrubs.
Boo! Get a copy, yay!
Anyway, but speaking of monsters. Pokemon Go is finally released.
Woo!
Yay! Woo! So, can I just say, like, how, like, part of me is, like, beyond pleased at, like, the success that it's got.
Wow.
Because it's the most topping, the top grossing app of all time, in the US at least. About more daily active users than, like, Twitter, than Tinder, a lot of other big apps.
More searches than porn.
Oh. How did I know that was that was gonna be?
I see. Share values are like through the roof on Nintendo. They're like a really high point right now, which
is
very good.
This is another thing I didn't understand of that, because from what I've heard, Nintendo are only getting 10% of the actual app, which is still a considerable amount of money, but.
well, but that's the thing, because like they haven't really been heavily involved. It's mainly Niantic are the big people here, like the big developers, and then you've got the Pokemon Company, which is a sort of separate identity which Nintendo owns part of. But yeah, it just shows that like so I'm really pleased by the success it's having, and like. Even people at my school, like, even they're getting it and talking about it, which makes me very pleased as, like, probably the only Pokemon fan at the school. Like, only person to keep up with games, or at least one of the only. But yeah. But the other thing as well is that, like, they're not going to be proper into Pokemon. They're only going to be talking about Pokemon Go, not, and talking about nostalgia, not as the thing as a whole.
Yeah.
Trend is rather the fan.
So... it's like, so they're gonna have a bit of a hard time like transferring those these new found players into trainers for Pokemon Sun and Moon, because that looks like a really good game and a great way to celebrate the 20th anniversary. But if they're not gonna get like people to play like Pokemon at the same, even though it's doing like tremendous success for them, at the same time it's like. But you kind of want people to, like, stick with the franchise. Because if you don't do that, then you're just going to fall off the IP.
It's I can understand what you're saying with that. I think there will be some people that will probably be back involved in Pokemon. The old
but
games.
This is, like a start-up for them, because out in Asia, mobile gaming has been the thing for so long now that you like, when I've been out in Hong Kong, Malaysia, and other such places, I very rarely ever see anyone with a DS. Everyone's gaming on their phone. So this is like a market for Nintendo or the Pokemon company tap into. And this means more and more kind of games we've grown up with will evolve onto mobiles. And obviously in Japan, there's still a lot more, handheld gaming.
I know in terms of like mobile gaming, there's been a lot of series that have used mobile gaming over in Japan and China for many years. I mean, in terms of like Final Fantasy and Kingdom Hearts, they've had hundreds of mobile games for just that area and region. It's crazy how quickly.
Quite behind in the whole mobile game market.
Really. It's just weird that.
I prefer handheld games still. I'll never really get into mobile gaming.
Battery life is a lot better.
Yeah.
But it's a weird sort of concept though, because it's essentially the same game, in theory. I know there's some
kind of
changes.
Yes, the DS is designed to handle the power and the complexity of the games. Everything else, where it's a mobile version, it'll be a simplified version of the game. Plus, your battery definitely. Will run out in 5 seconds.
It does.
Yeah.
This is a great game. It's really far. It's dead.
It was good.
You can tell when someone's playing Pokemon Go because they got a wire going from the phone round their jeans into their pockets, and it's like that's a mobile battery. They're playing Pokemon Go.
I think, that's the main sort of negative point with Pokemon Go, because it just does eat your battery. I mean, I went out on Saturday I went for a nice long walk around our sort of shoreline and went to find as many Pokemon stops as I could and see what I could collect. And I was gone for a good, maybe 2.5-3 hours. The battery literally died in 2 hours. So it's like completely destroyed my iPhone. So I could...
Because you've got the GPS going, your camera going, obviously the phone screen going because you're looking at it constantly.
In low power mode, it will still take anything away really quickly.
Well, once they get the, I forget what it's actually called, I keep thinking it's the Pokemon Go Pro.
The watch thing.
Which is basically a little Bluetooth device, and so you have that on, and when you're near something interesting, like a Pokemon, it will vibrate, and so you're only actually getting out when you need to.
This is another problem with it, because you've got to have the app open at all times to be able to like record steps. You can't put it into like your screensaver mode and then walk on the road. It doesn't record it. So you've got to have it open as a main program while you're playing, while walking around. And it's a bit of a flaw, really, because like, I cycle to work and things like that, and I can't get any steps unless I've opened the app the whole time. I can't really do both at the same time, kind of thing. It's a bit. It's definitely got a few flaws like that, but it's in general, it's really good fun.
It's one of the only mobile games that not only am I going to be playing for longer than a day, and which I have already done, but one that will make me more active, and that I may have to buy into microtransactions. Microtransactions. I can't even say the word, I don't think.
Microtransactions.
Microtransactions, sorry. because, like, it's just, like, the novelty of, like, going around your world and catching Pokemon. I think that's the key part of the fun here.
I've gone in for a 7-8 mile walk yesterday, and I would never have done it otherwise if I didn't have the app, you know, because I was searching for places to go. It's like... proven that it's done something different in the actual social community, that people are actually going out and enjoying it, you know.
It's had a lot of positive.
That's another thing with Nintendo, is that for quite a few years now they've been playing with the option of getting gamers to mix gaming with physical activity. And you had that with, you know, the Wii,
Wii Fit and things like that.
Wii U, Wii Sports, Wii Bowling, Wii
Street Passing,
We run, we dance, you know, so it's like, now with the phones, it's, you know, you get out, you go for a walk, you enjoy, but you also got to be a bit more careful. And I must admit, I've done the parent thing where my daughter is almost 15, and she just got Pokemon Go, and she gave me a call to say how excited she was, and she ended up in someone's garden catching a Pokemon. And I kind of gave her this warning, you know, you got to be careful, because even if it's great, I said, no matter how tempted you are, don't go down, don't run down an empty road in search of a Pokemon just because it's around there. So that's the other thing as a parent, you have to look from that perspective, is that it's a great game, but it's now getting you out. And as a parent, your kids are loving it, but they're not always aware of whereabouts they're running around. Again, like a neighbor's garden or somewhere they're not supposed to be. Desperately trying to get a Pokemon, you know.
I've joined a lot of the Go groups on Facebook and Twitter at the moment, and
same.
I think every group I've been involved in, I've said, look, just be safe. If you can, go with a group of people. Mm. Just make sure you know where you are and check your surroundings, like it says in the app.
Check where you are, check your surroundings. I'd probably say, like, make sure you take some drink or some money in case you sort of, like, get stuck somewhere.
What I would love to do if Nintendo wanted some, like, feedback is if they did, like, family days out for Nintendo Go, where all the families could go on a nice day out, walk around, find Pokemon with their children, with friends, and it's a properly planned, like, safe location, and they can guarantee you, like, a secret Pokemon at the end of it for participating.
Ooh.
And I think things like that would really be enjoyable. I must admit, I'm a bit wary of my daughter grabbing a phone and running out the door. to find a Pokemon. So I think some planned things like that, if Nintendo want to do that, that would be amazing.
Yeah.
Sorry, carry on. No, I was going to say, how many events have we got going, Jack?
For Pokemon Go, I think so far I've been invited to about 30.
And the problem is, it means the community are now bunching together to do this kind of stuff.
It's great. Mm. But the problem is, a lot of the ones are literally the same day or the same weekend. I'm just like, no. But yeah, it's still good. It's good that there's communities growing from it, and the Street Pass communities are growing as well because of it. So I don't see anything bad in that sort of way. But I can absolutely understand.
You know, with a Street Pass group or any other community group, that safety is kind of built in.
Yeah,
because
definitely.
your organizer is already very on the ball with making sure the people that are attending the event are looked after.
Yeah,
that everything's planned out nicely. You know, as a parent or anyone going to an event, that you're going to get looked after.
I did want to give a bit of praise to Street Pass Bournemouth, which is one of the newest groups in the whole community. This week there was a poor girl who basically got bullied for playing the game while she was out on the go in Bournemouth. She was part of this now joined the group, and she said about her reaction to playing the game. She was really put off by it, and the whole group literally just like gave her all the support possible, and then now they've all gone out for an event with her. And they I said to them, if they see the people out there, just say, well, here's my group of friends kind of thing, you know, they're all playing it as well, so don't be worried about things like that. And I've already
when people say that, I'm like, what, you don't play Pokemon Go? What's wrong with you? You know, and they go, wait, what? So it's like, it's turning it around.
This is really weird. When I first sort of realised how many people have actually downloaded and played it, I mean, America alone, I think half of all the phones in America now have Pokemon Go on.
Mm.
And it's like, that is incredible. But
it sounds like a wonderful, like, conspiracy theories as well, just like mind control and stuff like this.
Yeah, that's it. Illuminati confirmed and all that. So.
We do not speak of what we do not understand, or we understand too much. Oh, I don't know.
Nah.
But there's three groups, and there's a triangle, and it does stuff, and it's that's Illuminati.
So, and it's a Triforce Zelda. I knew it. Link. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I knew it. It was Link.
I did put a picture up on my Twitter page of who leaked the original Pokemon Go files. It was all spelled out Illuminati with unknown Pokemon, which I thought was pretty geeky. But
I think I remember reading somewhere.
Sorry for that brief interruption there. Skype was being Skype. But that was roughly it for what we had to cover on Pokemon Go. So. Sam and Monsanto offline are just going to talk Monsanto Generations for God knows how long.
Oh,
immediate disconnect.
Some games.
This connections make me extremely sassy. Anyway, please talk about Monsanto Generations.
Well, where should we start, Angela and Co?
Once upon a time, there was a company called Capcom. Are you listening, kids? And they came up with a great idea. I want to make all monsters extinct. How do we do that, kids? By making armor and shiny, shiny things from them. The end. That Monster Hunter was born.
It pretty much is Monster Hunter in a tin. So.
Monster Hunter in a tin, that sounds delicious. Where do I get this?
It's the new rations. Monster Hunter in a can. Well, I suppose we should start with the story, really, shouldn't we?
Well, I just did the story. Did you not listen? Once upon a time.
The generation story.
Oh, God, we've got to go back 10 years? Right, okay, we'll start from the beginning. Once upon a time, 10 years ago.
Now which actually isn't that far from the truth.
I know.
The whole point about it is it's all the old characters from all the old villages, and you're just revisiting them and getting quests and stuff off them, and basically it's a bit of a nostalgia trip.
Yeah, Monster Hunter Generations is nostalgia, all rolled into a shiny, shiny game. So all the... Even if you've never played Monster Hunter, it's your first time picking it up, you'll get to play all the old maps, a lot of the older monsters. There's flagship, there's brand new monsters. And for people who are, you know, have been around for the last 10 years, they get to watch all their favourite old, you know, quests and...
revisit the old villages.
Yes, yeah, in shiny, yeah, shiny new graphics, you know?
Yes, yeah, lovely shiny new graphics.
Shiny, shiny new graphics.
Mm. Yeah.
Awesome. Oh, Tetsukabra's dead.
Oh, nice.
There's another one gone.
There's seventh or eighth monster now.
We've done like eight quests now.
Oh my god.
8 quests in this time.
Wow.
Or 9. We've done a few.
We should have had a chalkboard,
yeah,
really.
Yeah, 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 it was like...
the podcast death count.
Monsters by podcast.
So, I guess we should go into the flagship monsters next, really, the new ones. We've got Glavinus, is it?
I'll let you pronounce that one.
Yeah, I've...
I think it's kind of Glavinus, or something.
Glavius, and then the other one.
Mephisto, Mephaustus.
No, that's not a flagship, that's just the bird.
That's just the bird. Wow, that came across really smart, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Never mind.
Glavinus is the fire T-Rex. You got Astalos, which is the electric sky wyvern, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Yep. You got Gamoth.
I'm wearing that armor set right now.
Gamoth, which is named like a Pokemon. You...
Mammoth. Oh, darn. I'm jealous
and
already.
And it's a little shiny.
There's Gamoth, which is the ice mammoth thing. I don't get that one, do you?
Oh, he's amazing.
He's pretty cool.
He's so huge that when you put a pitfall trap down, he can't fit in it. So his belly falls into it and his feet stick out. So you have to hit him in the feet because his belly's in the ground. It's really, really cute. Oh. That's when he falls in.
And then they've got this very Japanese sort of kawaii Mizutsun, isn't it? The water bubble dragon leviathan thingy.
It's basically a scrubbing brush on legs.
Yeah, well, it's funny because when you get hit by it, it's supposed to, like, you know, damage you or make you slide around, but you feel so clean and pretty because you slide around majestically
and
hitting
him. Bubbles on you as
well. You get all these bubbles come off you, so you're like, I don't actually quite mind getting slapped with this. Until your energy goes down, you go, oh, must heal.
Yeah, they do look proper. I wonder who came up with them or what sort of inspiration, because I remember watching some previous ones where they've like gone out and done research on like ecology and like species and like got the ideas for these different monsters. So I wonder what made them think of a giant bubble dragon. It really just made me wonder.
Well, there's been a move away from that. I think it got to the end where like the original monsters, they were really ecology based. But the last couple of games, it has got to the point where it's like, well, this is kind of cool. Let's just go with
The other thing is that monster has a really, really beautiful theme music to it. And you know that a lot of the monsters have their own music. It's actually like classic Japanese, you know, very beautiful. And the map that it spawns in is really nice as well.
They get the string instruments out.
And yeah, they really go nice on that one. So
I think it's basically that each village has its own kind of fated monster. Mm.
Oh yes, there's that.
Yeah.
The Macau, is that a new one or is that a returning monster?
Macau, the first one, like Macau. great Jackie, the green one.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, that's a new one.
Yeah.
I thought that was. That one, a tricky, tricky bugger.
I quite like him. I mean, he's not too hard. Once you get used to his kangaroo kick move, you can just barrel roll out of the way and then hit him from the side.
Yeah, if you hit him while he's actually tail, you've got a good chance of knocking him off.
Yeah.
And then you can just wail on him while he's wiggling around on the floor, which actually sounds quite nasty, but it's worth it.
Why are you all following me? It's spawns and four. Or five.
Again, it's like you have a monster ready, just got to kind of learn its attack patterns and just kind of get a feel for the monster. And
which is part of the whole charm of Monster Hunter in general. It's like you can fight end boss in no armor and just like a weapon. And if you know the monster well enough, you can just dodge and roll and get past everything.
Yeah, absolutely.
We don't play like that. Potentially, it's possible. But...
So I've played a lot of Monster Hunter 4. And we did quite a lot of multiplayer because Sam's quite good at it. And he sort of knows bits and pieces.
Quite good. Excuse me. I'm the one who has to carry the group most of the time.
Okay, you're the one carrying the group most of the time.
He is the quest master.
I got the Stygian Zenoga set, thank you very much. So I'm quite proud of myself on my own.
Soloed that.
Okay. Anyway, I enjoyed Monster Hunter 4. What has happened from Monster Hunter 4 to Generations? What's different between the two? Try and tell it to me.
The biggest thing is the fighting mechanics. Now, a lot of... So basically, they've brought back a lot of older monsters. They've brought a lot of classic maps back. But they've also brought in a brand new fighting style. And these are styles you can pick at any point of the game, so you've got a chance to try them all, which basically enhance your fighting style.
Or at least variants.
Yeah, so you remember back in 4 Ultimate, you would need like some of a hunting horn, some of a charge blade, some of a hammer, and they all had their own set need and want to do certain moves. This one is a bit more complicated, where you'll get someone who will be a healer, and they'll put down a healing fountain. And for like 2 full minutes, everyone gets like a mega potion version of healing they can sit under. Okay. Or you can get someone that it's their one job to run up to the monster with their blade and smack them really hard, which KOs them. Mm. And these aren't even the weapons. These are just like the styles.
Yeah. Or you get the mounter.
Which is aerial.
The luck of finding a ledge or getting someone in the group to use the insect glaive.
Yeah.
And the insect glaive became incredibly popular because having someone in the group, you could take the monster down half the time. Now, anyone mounts, they can just run up and do a dash on it.
It also looks really cool when you jump in the air and you get a great sword out and you're like, you kind of smash it onto the ground.
It must be that.
Yeah. If you really want those high-powered special moves, you will have some of your classic combination fighting types taken away from you. So you're used to playing on Thunder 4 Ultimate. How would I tell you, if I told you, well, if you pick a certain style, you're going to have to relearn how to do your combo move. So some people don't want to do that. So they go back to, say, guild style. So guild style gives you Monster Hunter 4 Ultimate fighting.
Okay.
We're doing, I think it's Adept and Striker that then gives you a new combo way of fighting. But you get to use more of these special moves. So there's a huge variety of fighting now in this. It's crazy. Mm.
I believe Striker is more an art style, which is, like you mentioned, different moves and techniques.
It kind of limits the combos that you can do, but you can perform the maximum number of Hunter arts, which is 3.
Yeah.
Adept is the running away one, which is great, where it works better with some weapons than others, but generally, if you leave it to the last second before blocking or dodging the monster, so it's very skill based, you'll get a bonus either in the way of blocking the attack fully or creating some very powerful counter attack.
And then we have Aerith,
and also
basically jumping plenty.
And also, there's something really, really, really new that I absolutely love. The Prowlers.
Yes.
Prowlers. Yes. Prowler mode.
They come into a whole new world of their own in this game. Well, do you want? Sorry, you were going to say something. This is where I get really excited.
No. Prowler mode is, and there's a Prowler. What was it? A Palico Ranch, isn't there? Where you can kind of really upgrade them in a completely different way.
You get your own like Palico town, really. You know, where they go and hang out and sort themselves out, and dojos and all kinds of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, and the Meowstress who runs it.
Yeah, it's much more back into I think it's Freedom Unites. No, or maybe it's, I can't remember which one, where you could, the Palico is much more customizable, and you can train them in different ways and their abilities, but they've really, really gone with it this time, and you can even get one Palico who says they've got ability, which is really kick ass, and you can put them as a master, and you can train your other Palicos to learn that ability, and so you can really, really train up your own team and make them the special or, you know, unique to you as possible in your own playstyle.
And also you're rewarded for trying to be a Prowler. So basically, when you want to do a gathering quest, if you actually become a Prowler for your gathering quest, you get unlimited bug nets, you get unlimited pickaxes, unlimited stamina. You also get 9 lives. You can die 9 times in a quest, which is quite handy.
That's cool.
Wow.
You can also dig underground and go under a monster if you don't want to fight it. And you've also got unlimited running. So all those X quests, all that Mega Dash juice, you don't need to worry about anymore. So basically any gathering quest is best to do as a Prowler. And also when you build your armor, each monster a Prowler gets their own armor for. So I've got one Prowler that's poison, one's electric, one is basically, I can't remember the other one. I've got one that's basically got a sleep weapon that I made from the owl. I keep calling Harulululu because I keep remembering the Japanese one. And they're actually stronger than my hunter. They can take out a monster quicker than my hunter can.
Oh my god.
I know, because they've got better defense, quicker speed, faster timed attacks.
And some fun abilities too.
And some really, really good abilities. And again, so you'll probably find quite quickly that there'll be parts of the game where you don't want to not be a Prowler.
It's quite a different way from actually batting.
You can also mix it up. So say two of you are offline or online in a room. Two of you can go as a Prowler and two of you can go as a hunter. So you can mix it up whoever you want, really. Yeah.
I'm really looking to get in quite depth for this. It's going to be amazing.
Get the game. You know, you want to.
Oh, I got it. Yeah, I got. I ordered it from Nintendo Store, and I also got a lovely shiny figurine with it. One in six chance.
What'd you get?
I got Lagiacrus from Monster Hunter 3. I love that. It's the first major monster I fought. I was like, oh, it's brilliant. It's bringing back some memories. I was like, they knew I wanted it.
Desire Center. Don't tell Nintendo what you want.
Exactly.
You'll never get this card.
I haven't picked it up yet, but I think one of the plus points for me personally, I use the older 3DS, but it's still an XL one, but the whole thing that I liked using on 4 was the fact that you could use the controls from the screen, rather than having to get like the new 3DS and nubble thing on there for the camera. In the demo, you couldn't do that, and I was really annoyed with it. I couldn't really get used to it without, because I had to stop to use the camera every time, and it was really quite frustrating. But
luckily,
Sam was literally showed me a picture of the fact that controls thing has actually been put into the full game. So I was like, yes, I can actually go and buy this game and play it now. I'm quite relieved with that without having to go buy a new 3DS, which I probably will upgrade to in the next couple of months anyway. But it's nice that they still bring back some of the features from the old game and at the same time add some new features to make it into this whole new version kind of thing. Sometimes it's nice that they bring old bits back and then just re-enhance them rather than just make a whole new game with exactly the same stuff in it.
I think the fan base with Monster Hunter is this, we don't like change.
Yeah, definitely.
We like to find... You know, there better be a devil, Joe. they better not take Devil Joe out, you know, that kind of thing, because the hunters kind of really like it that even if a new game comes out, they still really want some classic stuff to be kept in forever. Yeah. And it never changed.
I think Naga Cougar was one.
Yeah. Like the Lucent Naga Cougar, I used to love that in Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate. When they took it out of 4, I was like, no, I really like farming those cloudy moon shards that no one can ever get. <so. laughs>
I'm glad they kept Zinogre in. I was like, yes, Zinogre's mine.
This is probably the most adventurous, you know, update, and the fact that they have added in all these hunter styles. And yes. So, you know, even those classic weapons, yeah, every now and again they add in a new move or slightly new mechanic. Now they've added in completely different play styles for every single weapon that currently exists in the game.
And it's fantastic. It's really addictive as well, isn't it, Izzy?
Yeah.
You'll prefer it with this new attacking style in there, or would you prefer
I can't go back to it now. I can't imagine not being able to do like a massive slash attack or putting some healings down for people to help them. Yeah, there's also something else changed in the game where, you know, in 4 Ultimate, when you mounted the monster, it was like, get back, don't touch. It's changed now to get in there quick, everyone join in.
Oh, that's good.
You'll get like when you stab the monster, you'll get like a blueness come out of the stab. And then everyone joins in, and when you hit the monster, everything turns out to come out blue to indicate you're assisting. And then the monster goes down quicker, which really, from a logical perspective, is better. Because, you know, if someone's taking down a monster, you're going to take it down quicker if you're all joining. Then if you go, see while you sort that out, cheers.
Right, yeah,
it makes more sense, really.
Yeah, rather than having one guy literally attacking, you've got three other people just sort of sat around doing nothing.
Yeah, and so the monster then goes down really, really quick, and then you can all wail on it, so you get double the amount of kind of hits into it. And like that, and that, again, that's a great mechanic. So I've actually changed my hunting type to join in, everyone, because when you go online or you play with people for the first time, you see them hesitate because they don't want to touch the monster. And you can't go, well, what are you waiting for? So you have to change it so that they'll quickly jump in and help out. Yeah.
Here's a question for you guys. What's your preferred weapon?
Oh my god.
We could be here a while.
Izzy, you're in the corner of the room, you go first.
Okay, well,
it's a bit dark in here, though.
I'm going for 2 on this one. I normally go for 2 on each of the series, but I'm doing my classic gun lance, which I love because it's such an awesome weapon. If you don't play the game, it's a lance. You have a big shield and you have a long pokey thing with a gun built into it. So as well as stabbing it, you can fire off shells at close range, which have a shotgun blast effect.
Yep.
And so you're constantly switching between stabbing, shooting, blasting it, or unleashing these explosive power attack.
They've
added a mechanic in generations where the more you fire the shells, your blade actually heats up, and you start to do more damage with your physical attacks, which is very, very fun.
Because the switch in between the blade and the gun actually benefited in using the weapon, if I remember.
Before, you know, both were two different ways of doing damage, and you'd kind of do the two to combo, but now there's an actual synergy between the two attacks, and so you can be quite strategic, and it's much more of a technical weapon now. And the other one that I'm playing is the hammer, which I've always shunned, I'll be honest, right up until the end of 4U, when I started to try it just out of boredom because I'd played all the other weapons to death, and I've started to fall in love with it. And with the new styles, I can do adept, where again, if I dodge at the last second, the hammer's got this ability where you can charge it up to do these power attacks. If you pull off one of these adept dodges, you get a super, super duper blue charge. And if you can land these on the monster, it literally knocks them for 6. It's beautiful to do. And it's very satisfying.
And it looks so cool.
Hammers are always beneficial because if you're hitting a monster for like a certain part of its body to like break off, it was quite a lot easier to use the hammer in its sort of blunt damage, if I remember.
Yeah, there's two main benefits. One is that if you bash at the head, you're hitting the head of the hammer, you might knock them out. So if you do enough head damage, you can stun them for a while.
Yeah.
And the other is if you hit them in the rest of the body, it kind of makes sense logically, but you're basically hitting them with a blunt object. You're going to tire them out quicker. And so you'll get exhausted faster, which means the rest of the team has a big opportunity to really, you know, get some damage in while they're sluggishly crawling around.
Cool. Like it. Cool.
Right. Who's next then?
So, me, please. well, I have this thing where I change my weapon every game.
All right. So,
this one, I mean, I always learn different weapons anyway because I just want to, but I always have one that I'm dominant with, and this one's now the greatsword. The greatsword hasn't really changed up in generations, but the new styles of fighting means I've unlocked through doing the solo quests some like kind of mega slash moves. And okay. There's this one move that I've got called a ground slash that I'll build up, and then when it's at maximum, I press a button, and my hunter gets the greatsword, drags it across the ground, and then slashes it in the air.
And if you, yeah, I saw this,
yeah, a huge uppercut. And if you hit the monster just at the right bit, you literally knock them out, like, and out of the way. They go flying. But the other thing in the game is that you need to level these skills up. So you'll get level 1, level 2, and level 3. So when you get to 6-star village quests, you'll start unlocking the highest kind of power quests, you know, skills. So my ground slash, if I then level it up to, if I unlock it to level 3, it'll be a much higher chance of KO and does a lot more damage. So you won't stop unlocking stuff. You'll have to keep playing and getting higher levels of your skills. So great sword for me, yeah.
It's another level of progression, which is quite nice in this game. And the game is all about progression.
Danny, what are you playing?
I only ever seem to use the hammer because it means I can mash things and I don't have to think hard about defense at all.
Nice.
Smashy, smashy, smashy.
I don't have to guard. I don't guard fighting games. So why should I have to learn to guard now, you know?
Fair play.
It's fun. Just nice. Like smashing things in the head, right?
It is a very simple weapon. I can
yeah, I am very simple.
Gary?
I've kind of just got started today. I think what I'm going to be doing is I'm going to be mixing between Sword and Shield and the Switch Axe.
Nice.
Yeah, with the Sword and Shield was one was a weapon that I was using mainly in Monster Hunter 4 Ultimate. That was actually my first entry into the Monster Hunter series. So it was a good I found it was a good weapon. It's always been a good weapon for beginners, apparently.
You can heal with it as well.
You can actually heal while your sword and shield is out. You don't have to sheathe the weapons to use items.
That's a very handy thing.
Yeah, you just hold R to block, and then you can use your items. But one thing that's new in Generations for the sword and shield is the ability to apply these oils to the blade.
Adds extra elements and damage types.
We're currently hunting a Lugombi at the moment. Okay. I've got
quest number 13.
I'm currently sort of coating my blade in stamina oil at the moment, which drains the monster of stamina, so it tires easily.
Yep.
Nice.
So, but there's other ones you can get as well, like affinity oils, which boosts your weapon's affinity. That's the chance of critical hits.
Yep.
The other weapon I'm using is the switch axe, which is essentially an axe that can transform into a sword.
It's quite similar to the gun lance in its switching ability, if I remember.
It's another one of these transformative weapons, and they're all quite cool in the sense that they've got these mechanics where they can take on different roles depending on what you're fighting and, you know, what's needed. Yeah.
What are you guys going to use when you get the game, or you're using already?
I use longsword. It's always been a personal favourite of mine. I just like the whole... it's quite versatile and long sort of slashing range weapon, so I'm quite used to it. I did try dual blades, but as much as I like being able to get in there and like slash up, I like to be quite technical as well and sort of really time my attacks as well as with the combos to power up the sword. I don't think I really try many others, but I've still got to try and play around with the different styles first to get a real feel for it, and I'll probably start playing other weapons just to see how I go.
Cool.
I think changing it up will do some good. I think it's nice to, and it's always nice to know more than one weapon.
Because there's something that's, whatever it is that you're using, it's just not very effective at. Whether it's because they move too fast or, you know, they're slightly out of your range. One of the nice things about Monster Hunter is there is no ultimate weapon. There's no weapon that is the best. You have to use it. If you're using anything else, you're being a bit silly. All the monsters are so varied that, you know, there's going to be something which is slightly more effective than something else.
I mean, I normally use a lot of the great sword or long swords in Monster Hunter 4. It's interesting that you all seem to have like sort of different aspects of like weapons you like using, and not everyone's using the same weapon as you mentioned. So there's, like I said, if there's no strong weapon, there's no weak weapon. It depends what the situation is. I'm just curious that there's no one's using any of the like bow guns or bows or anything like that. Is there some sort of weakness with the shooting?
We do. Well, bow gunners, the classic rule of the bow gunner armor is that you have really, 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 really bad defense, but you have a very, very powerful bow gun, which does a great deal of support to your team, because in the distance you can fire off some elemental shots and all kinds of other things.
Yeah,
but.
It's the glass cannon effect, basically.
Yeah, but we have had, like people say, they come in with that weapon and they get kicked out of a room because they don't want someone dying. But whole point, if you've got a bow gunner, your job is to protect that bow gunner.
I was going to say, with bow gunners, they don't need to sharpen. So, I mean, that's a really important thing, because whilst the other guys might need to sharpen, they're providing that support as well, which is really handy. I find like I've got to go sharpen. They can
Get caught reloading crack shot.
So,
Are you guys coming to the event on Saturday?
Is it this Saturday coming?
Yeah.
It is this Saturday. London, isn't it?
Where else would it be? London's so cool.
I know, but it's fun to get a ticket out there. It's a lot.
Oh, no.
That's half our problem is travel. But,
Yeah,
I might consider it.
Yeah.
The good thing is that a lot of the Monster Hunter pages, and there's quite a few communities now around the UK.
Definitely.
Everyone's kind of joined up to make a, you know, 23rd of July UK-wide event. So there's actually quite a few, even in Ireland, Southern Ireland, they're doing an event on the same day. So actually going to try and Skype live the other events around the country so that we can say hi on camera. And then leave it running so hunters from all over the country can speak.
That'd be really cool.
Hopefully we'll get that done. It's what we want to do. Can't guarantee Intora nets will work as well and stuff.
Well, me and Jack will have to have a discussion and see what we're going to do, but we'll try at least.
I do have a problem that I think I'm supposed to be going to about a million Pokemon Go events on the same day, but we can work something out, I'm sure.
Yeah, we'll see what's going on.
There's a Mewtwo at the event. There's a Mewtwo.
Oh, I'm coming.
Just a final thing for me about Monster Hunter Generations. I've only put about 5 hours into Monster Hunter 4 Ultimate, and the last time I played it was a good while ago, and I found it to be alright. I do need to put more time into it, to be fair, but I've just found it quite all right, really. Do you think Generations will like make me have a better view on it? Like, will I get like a better 5 for Generations? Or
okay, if you want to know the truth, and this is my personal experience, when I first got Monster Hunter, I couldn't get my head around it, and I actually struggled with the game. Okay. And I played it for 20 hours, and everyone's going, come on, it's good, don't worry, you'll get the hunting bug, you'll get the hunting bug, and you'll never put it down. I'm like, I'm not getting a hunting bug, this is too difficult. And then I got like 25 hours in, and then something clicked, and I think it was, I just got good, or I finally worked out how something worked. I don't know what it was. I think it was I took a monster down for the first time, and it was a really hard quest. And I worked really hard to make sure I took it out. And then that was it. Something clicked and I couldn't put the game down. So it's one of those games where don't get disheartened. Keep going.
Okay.
And then something's going to click and you'll just get addicted to it.
Yeah, the Laggy Empress did that for me. And I was like, oh, I really like this game. And then like before you came out and I was like, oh, I've got to do this even more now. And
yeah.
I must admit, when me and Neil basically started our Street Pass Southampton group, he got a copy of Monster Hunter 3, and on the deal he had basically gave your friends an extra copy, and I got his extra copy, and I only played a few hours of that game because it was only us two and we literally didn't know what the hell we were doing kind of thing. And so I sort of played a few hours of that and didn't really go back to it, and then I started hearing about Monster Hunter 4 through something like your groups and lots of other people talking about it, and I was like, I wasn't really that sure about it. And at the same time, Majora's Mask was getting released, so I was like, I'm gonna go get that game, aren't I?
Yeah.
But then I found so many people were playing Monster Hunter. And I was like, I want to get involved in this and see what's going on. It's such an amazing game. How quickly it's sort of grown.
I think as well, what helped is all the communities that are around. Like there are people like us and other people who will literally sit with you and tutorial you one-to-one on the game, and that makes a big difference, you know what I mean?
Okay.
We've had people literally pick up the game on the way to an event and turn up with it still wrapped up, and they've unwrapped it, and me and Izzy have spent like 1 or 2 hours with them, just them, to get them
started, getting them
giving them weapons. And we give them mega potions, we give them we give our new hunters starter packs where we give them like a load of stuff in the game to give them a hand as well.
They have actually introduced a starter pack with this one, haven't they?
The DLC, the DLC. Oh. Yeah. So again, it's one of these things where if you are struggling and you're feeling disheartened, you're not on your own. You can literally post a question or give me a bell or give anyone, poke us or something, and we'll give you a hand. Don't be alone. And this game's great for the fact that there's a lot of good people out there to play with.
I find it a very tight-knit community. It's lovely. Yeah.
I think
it's very warm and welcoming. Yeah.
One of the things that I am liking about it, from what I've heard, is like the community, like from like you guys and stuff like that. It does seem to be like a really good community to get into.
We all get on, and everyone's a great bunch.
Mm.
And I've never met anyone that we've not all like. You'll get people that come in, and everyone that comes to the event has got something. Like we get a lot of hunters with social anxiety disorder, depression, disability. There's all kinds of things going on, and they come to the event and they're always shy and nervous, and we're just like, come on, you can. And then eventually over time you see people come out of themselves more, and it's so rewarding. Right. So for yourselves, like you're very good at chatting and socializing.
I hope so.
So for you it's not so hard to come and chill out, but for others it's really needed.
A lot of people have come to Street Pass events I've known of before, and they've never been to an event like it before.
Yeah.
And they just don't know what to expect. And you get all these sort of really anxiety attack sort of thing. And it's we're all here. If you need someone to talk to about anything, and whether it's gaming related or not, we quite happily help you through any game or any situations. It's just these are all nice little groups, and They need more people to come and enjoy them.
It's kind of very important we keep these groups going, really. Because again, I always say this to people, that I come from a generation, because I'm so old, man, where there was no meeting up. There was no hanging out with your mates and playing games. It was, you were weird if you gamed and you had to keep it to yourself.
It's definitely changed in society in the last 5 or 10 years.
And now it's normal and cool, and it's normal to actually play the same games you really, really love, but in a pub with friends or in a community centre with other people. And it's normal now. So my children actually don't know. They've never experienced a time where it wasn't completely fine to go out and game in public and enjoy yourself.
And that's how it should be.
Yeah, and that's really the way it's going to be. That generation is set. where my kids can just go, do you know what, I fancy going to an event, oh look, there's an event on, and then going and enjoying themselves around people that aren't going to judge them, that aren't going to, you know, because a lot of us don't go to pubs and smoke and drink and all kinds of stuff. We kind of like to just be big fat nerds. And I like to go places where I can be a big fat nerd and nobody judges me.
It's well said, definitely.
Yes.
So keep doing what you're doing and keep these things going, because again, it can only get bigger and better, and the community is only going to get stronger because we've got to put the time into making it stronger and better. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely.
Well said.
A bit of tear, a little tear. Came out.
Don't cry.
It's a wyvern tear, quick.
Wyvern tear.
It's not a tear, it's blood in the eye.
Anyway.
The zombie's not going to kill itself.
Anyway, moving on with the section then. Jack, do you want to go next for what you have been playing?
Yes. I've been playing Pokemon Go, and that's pretty much it.
Oh, okay.
No, I played a bit of Twilight Princess. I'm still sort of trying to catch up with Sam's playthrough.
I am nearly finished.
Because he's nearly finished.
Where are you now? Where are you now, then?
I am up to the Twilight Castle. We are in the realm of Twilight, so we're almost there.
I'm literally just behind you. I'm just about to go to the castle. So.
Yeah, right. I'm just about to face Zant, and then I won't say because that's spoilers. So.
So it sounds a good boss fight. I'll say that I really like. I quite enjoyed his boss fight.
I don't remember it. This is the thing. The whole I've said from the start of playing Twilight Princess, I don't remember much of it. Whereas the other games, I could tell you from start to finish what happens. It's just like
a long time coming.
It's like playing the game all over again.
It's great.
Fresh new game.
But yeah. Other than that, I've not replayed a lot. I mean, I've still been doing the Mario Kart UK's league. They've been doing. I actually won a Grand Prix the other day.
Congratulations.
So I've gone
Jack's
up a whole
race is a game.
Whole extra one place up the league table, and I was like, yes, boom. Just for that. So yeah, it was all good fun, and I'm still enjoying playing with that group at least once a week, so that's pretty cool. Other than that, I've really not played a lot else other than trying to catch Pokemon.
So basically, you played nothing but Pokemon Go, and your feet are killing you.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I've done that whole 7-8 mile walk, catching Pokemon. Round our sort of area, there's like a little beach area that goes up quite a far distance, at least maybe 4 miles. And I went the whole beach length and caught about 30 Pokemon.
Jeez.
The thing is, most of us gamers don't even see sunlight, so the fact that.
So,
you get tons of steel.
What is this big ball of heat in the sky? Oh,
Jack saw all sunlight and burnt to a crisp.
What you were saying earlier, that like people being like described as a gamer kind of thing, and like everyone sort of says, oh, you shouldn't be doing that. I've got lots of that this week from people playing Pokemon Go and things. I'm like, people going out exercising and enjoying it, and just leave them to it kind of thing, you know? It's
Well, it's like saying, what, are you staying, still playing football at your age? When are you going to grow out of football? I mean, for goodness sake. I mean, football's for kids.
People like their own thing.
That sounds illogical, doesn't it? But to us, you know, when people say that to us, we're just like, wait, what? This is my passion. This is what we do. So I don't go to footballers and say, when are you going to grow out of it? So don't come up to me and tell me to stop playing that.
But yeah, but lots of interesting conversations on Facebook and Twitter all about Pokemon Go, and I found it really, really interesting. And it's, I just think the positive side of it is there's lots of people that have struggled through, like you said, with anxiety and things like that before. But
yeah,
there's a lot of people go into like the gyms and finding that there's like another 20 people there doing exactly the same as you are. I mean, it's you know, you can actually go and talk to them, and I know they're all complete strangers. You've got to be careful, but it's been really good in terms of actual social things and people getting together, and I welcome it. I think it's amazing. So
it's basically knowing that you've got a shared interest. If you know, walk into a room and you're there for a specific reason and everyone else is there talking about it, then you know, icebreaker, you're already like halfway there.
Definitely. Absolutely. So yeah, other than that, not really played a lot else. So I'll try and play some more next week, and then I can talk about it on the podcast. So yeah, moving on. Who's next?
Matthew, I believe. Yeah, I guess I'll talk briefly. I haven't been playing too much Nintendo at home. But yesterday, the day we're recording, I went to Hype Japan. I went there last year. It was quite good. But I have to say, Hype Japan this year was far better. The venue was much bigger, more open spaced. It was better that the whole venue was dedicated to the event rather than one section on the side of the O2, which was last year.
Yes. Quite segregated last year.
Yeah, quite segregated. So it's nice to have like one whole venue just for the event. There's a lot of stuff going on. I tried takoyaki, I believe it's called. The octopus stuff.
Fish flakes on top and mayonnaise and all kinds of fun sauces.
I guess so. Yeah. but yeah, that was really nice. The octopus stuff was really nice. I had a go of that. I really wanted to get some anime stuff, but I wanted to try and save my money for like another time. But I'd love to get like some anime stuff in my room because I have a lot of gaming stuff and I want more, but I would like some good anime stuff there. But I went there as press for FujiTribune.com, and I mainly spent most of my day in the Nintendo area. Nims and Barry put on. Well, great presenters again. They've done the stage show for Nintendo for a good while, and they've done it, and they always do a great job at presenting. I was able to go on stage to play Smash a bit, and there was one other part as well. Oh, and to play Super Mario Maker as well.
Nice.
So it was far less times went up compared to my time at EGX, but it was just still good fun. I got a good amount of free stuff. The Nintendo UK store was there, and I got myself a t-shirt, a Mesh Knight amiibo, and a Splatoon cushion. So, and I really enjoying that Splatoon merch right there. Nice. I got myself a decent wallet. Because I've been using a Velcro one since year six, so it's nice to have like a good one. naturally, it's Zelda themed, so it's like, but it looks like proper professional.
But you can still keep your lunch money in it, right?
Yeah.
There it is. You got that one.
I'm gonna come steal it.
I was able to play Pokken with my mate, who I completely annihilated with my Gardevoir. Sam, you should have similar experiences.
Shut up.
I played a bit of Splatoon as well. You know, even though they're already out, it's good to see that those games are still supported and people can still play it in case they haven't had it, or they just want a good laugh like myself. The actual display was quite good. They had an area dedicated entirely to Yo-Kai Watch, and I thought that was well done. I didn't manage to play the game itself, but I may get it because I've heard the story is quite good, and I'm quite curious now. And there was a bit that where you could do the Yo-Kai Watch dance, and two Nintendo people were doing it, and apparently it was quite funny. But like, I felt really bad for them. That they had to dance like in front of everybody else, like right at the entrance. It's not.
Oh, they laugh.
Yeah, but it seems like a good laugh though. Seems like they were having a good laugh. I hope so.
We were there yesterday, and we were hanging around basically in the Nintendo area all afternoon trying to find cheeky hunters everywhere.
I couldn't find you guys.
Yeah, we'll found you a cheeky hunt. Whoa, you know, so.
I did.
Yeah, there's a Naga Cougar that needs sorting out.
finally went there.
I did manage to play Generations for a little bit as a Palico. It was quite fun playing as Palico, but I think I prefer playing as a hunter proper.
Yeah, for the proper ones.
But yeah, like it was good fun. I think I should have played a bit more as a hunter, but I didn't really play that much. I always played Rhythm Paradise Mega Mix, and my friend from DS London, Lucas, was at the stall there, so he showed me it.
Yeah, we saw Lucas
Yeah,
doing the dance.
but yeah, it's really good. I can't wait for the game, but they for Ringside, which is one of the mini games from Beat the Beat, Rhythm Paradise, and the Wii. One of the best ones. It's where you're the wrestler and you get interviewed, so you have to like say yes to the beat and flex your muscles and stuff like that. So it's
I
like
can do that.
yeah,
Dun,
so it's like one of my
dun,
favorite ones. But they only give you the tutorial. They only give you the tutorial
Oh.
to the stage, and then that's it, and then that's the demo. And it's like, what? How do you even have it in the first place? What else? Oh, they showed off Zelda Breath of the Wild for a good amount of time.
Yeah, they were doing teasers. I quite enjoyed that.
Yeah, it was quite good to see. I'm just looking more and more forward to it, like to see what else is to come in the game, and just get my hands on it and just explore. Let's see what else. Yeah, it was a well done event on Nintendo's part. It was definitely a well done event, really good event.
Like.
Yeah, they had an area dedicated to sure. Sorry, it was there was an area dedicated to 3DS Adventures, which are various RPGs coming to
Yeah.
Nintendo 3DS this year. Yes,
Ooh.
Barry was ex especially excited about that one. Fire Emblem Fates was there, which pleases me because that could be my game of the year this year. Let's see what else. There was Hyrule Warriors Legends, Bravely Second, Eden Layer. Well, I believe that's what it's called over here as well. I'm not sure. But yeah, it was a good event. It was a well done event. Definitely a good step up from last year. But I'm sad that they don't have Smash as a stall. That makes me quite sad because I love playing Smash. It's the best.
I think the thing is with Smash, and again, we've promoted Smash quite a few times, and it gets quite aggressive. Like a lot of the guys,
It's very competitive.
especially when they find out like in advance you're hosting Smash, they'll turn up with their own pads and with like Smash gloves on, like I got this,
I think it's just Smash, though. I think it's like finding
And I
it
think the
games in
problem
general.
is that I think the problem is that they forget there's kids around, or they forget that people want to share the game, and
It's
they
not
get,
really good for mixed groups.
yeah, they kind of
True.
get a bit too dominating of the area. So I think by not having Smash there, it allowed other games to shine.
I the events we've had, I think I've tried to keep Smash casual as much possible, other than like when it first come out, because the same reasons. It's just like everyone gets so competitive with it, and they want to have it their own certain rules and everything. But I've always liked the 8 player because you can get so many people on and
I
playing
mean,
at the same time.
we do love Smash and we do promote Smash like quite often, but we'll do it under circumstances that we know we can handle that level of
Yeah,
noise, crowd,
definitely.
and basically have the space to host it. So there's plenty, because people will literally just watch it for ages, and you get these big kind of areas of people just watching it, and it
It's
can
as
be a
much
bit of
a
a health,
spectator sport as it is
yeah,
a
and it can be a bit of a health and safety hazard if you're not careful. So again, under the right circumstances, we do it, but if we don't feel we can like do that, we then don't do it. That most of the time we're showing it off on our free hunt Saturdays. Yeah.
Nice, nice.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Matt?
What number monster are we on now, Izzy?
Uh,
15?
no, I think we're. I don't think we're 15. I think we're more 11.
11? Is that all?
I know.
We've been hunting. We've been hunting this entire podcast.
You've done well, guys. Well
Few
done.
hours of
Well
solid
done.
hunting. Not that we didn't do
Jeez.
another 4 or 5 hours before that, but.
Anyway,
Brilliant.
yeah, I think that wraps up for the what
Do
I've
any of you
been.
guys have anything else that you play normally you'd like to shout out about you've been playing this week or anything? Or is it just Monster Hunter purely?
I
could speak of other games, but I'm not sure if it's like a branding thing. So it's like, are we allowed to talk about Xbox games?
No. No Xbox
That's the end of that discussion.
The hammer is down.
No Xbox.
Unless it's Banjo-Kazooie.
I guess it wouldn't hurt, just a quick mention.
Unless it's Banjo-Kazooie or Conker's Bad Fur Day.
Izzy, go, say something.
No, I'm shy now. I feel like I've overstepped a bit.
Well,
No, it's fine.
I decided while I was waiting for Generations to come out that I would try ESO because I hadn't tried it, and I got the game for like a fiver.
Okay.
So like, sweet. So I went on it, and I did like, I think 80 hours in a really short space of time.
Whoa.
And then I got given Generations, and I was told that I had to get good at the game because I'm showing the game off at the event. So I was like, see you later, ESO, I got to get good now. So I haven't actually gone back on it because I'm literally all day long hunting because I need to be able to show off all the good shiny sets. Yeah. But again, Generations is a really, really good game, but I do play other games. So yeah. I'm just going to say that I do play a lot of other games.
Oh. We all do. Yeah. I could probably list so many that I'm playing right now. But it's so hard to juggle time.
Anyway.
I was watching your video, actually, your Metroid videos. I love them.
Oh, don't.
Every time you jump, you're like, oh my God, I'm going to... Oh, actually, I'm fine.
I must admit, though, that my favourite video of Sam so far is when he fought the spider boss in Twilight Princess. I was literally crying and I was watching. I knew what was coming and he was just like, there's a giant spider.
I literally like that. Eating my breakfast, watching you in the morning. So you're basically my breakfast entertainment. Whilst on the TV. Look, he's fighting like these spiders.
I was like, what was the boss for this one again? I was like, oh my God. So I was like,
trauma, back out. So yeah, you're keeping my household very happy. I must admit, we do like your videos. We enjoy them.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
That means a lot.
But we have subscribed as well.
Oh, thank you. It does mean a lot. I mean, I just do it purely just because I enjoy doing them.
And we watch it because we purely enjoy watching them. So
it's the whole point of the whole thing. I mean, I've been doing it. God, when did I start doing it, Jack? I've been doing it
seven,
like
7-8 months ago now.
And I've done several series and... I'd like, there's still games I'll go on and I'm like, I have no idea what I'm doing. And then like, I have to go like, I'm going to have to check what I'm doing. Otherwise, I'm going to be here forever.
I think I can understand that with the Super Metroid, because that is an easy game. But...
I've spent a couple of hours going around lost. I'm like, where am I going? I'm just going around in circles. And
I think it is good though when you do the actual videos, because it makes you want to go and complete the game and carry on playing through. And it gives you that sort of achievement at the end of it, so it's
well, once Shantae Half Genie Hero comes out, that'll be another one on the list. It probably it'll be like, drop everything else, I'm doing Shantae.
I can't wait for Shantae to come out either. Anyway, I think that roundabout wraps up for the Why We've Been Playing section, so let's move on to our final section. So this is our final section of the podcast now, which should otherwise be known as our shout-out section. So, people at Monster Hunter Offline, do you guys have anybody that you want to shout out to?
Monster Hunter Essex.
Yes.
I do want to make an apology, because I keep getting
I know. I hear it comes. Tell me it now.
I'm sorry. I search for it on Facebook and I get the same one. I share the wrong one when I'm trying to promote people's stuff.
I gave Trojan like a text and I was like, you've gotten a lot of free promotion apparently.
He corrected me. Yeah, so apologies.
I normally correct people by putting them in a headlock and they never make that mistake again.
Coconuts in a sack.
But we're also Monhun Offline, not Monster Hunter Offline, because obviously it's quite a different name, and there are other pages out there called Monster Hunter Offline, so we don't want people to get confused either by our name. But you also forgot my name. You're like, yeah, that woman. Yeah, she. I forget her name. I think she was Monster Hunter Essex. And I was like, yeah, that'll do.
I'm just so going to go dig myself a hole.
Trojan, the guy Trojan who runs the Essex Hunts, he runs in Colchester, Basildon, all over Essex. He's a really, really good guy. He works really, really hard in his community in Essex. He also supports other pages, and we support him back. He needs a good shout out. He's a really good guy. He works really hard. So him, he's the actual Monster Hunter Essex dude. And I'll be sending him a link to your podcast where I'll make him listen to the end of it.
He definitely does listen to us because he's quite often commenting on my Miitomo and all sorts, and he likes it and stuff. So
he's regularly posting.
Cool. Yeah. So cheers, Rog, and that's cool. Apologies again for mixing.
Oh, and DS London, DS London, amazing.
Yeah, our friends at DS London.
That's how I started DS London.
Yeah.
That's what got me out of my house and actually started socializing. Hey. So I used to have really bad social problems when I was younger, and then I found out there was a group called DS London. So I went all the way to London from where I used to live to visit this, and I was so scared and nervous, and they brought me in, and that was it. I never looked back. So DS London is actually how I became who I am today. So they're actually and I still go to their events after like 7-8 years I've been going there.
I can't get rid of you.
I know, right? They tried. And to be honest, the size of my muscles, they don't bother anymore to try and lift me out. It's too heavy. I know. I've broken enough of their stuff. Yeah.
We had Lee on from DS London quite a few episodes back, and lovely chap. I've not met many of the others from DS London, but I'm sure they're all very lovely as well.
You got Vinit.
They are very lovely people. Yeah.
Yeah. You got Lucas, you've got Nathan. They've got a lot of admins, a lot of guys. But again, they're the UK's longest running handheld community.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Over 10 years they've been going now.
Wow. Crazy.
So yeah. So what about you guys? Shout out something quick.
You kind of pipped me to the post. I was going to say Monster Hunter Essex. Trojan approached me as well. He goes, do you want to join the chat? And I'm like, I don't know anyone.
You don't have to. He'll bring you in, and everyone will love you. It's all good.
They've been really warm and welcoming. Lovely, lovely group of people. So big, big shout out to all of them. Bless, I kind of caught Trojan in the middle of one of his hunts. I was like, oh, do you want a game? And he's like, oh, sugar, I've just caught this. I'm like, I'm so sorry.
That's okay.
But yeah, I certainly need to start getting on a couple of hunts online. I'm more than up for a game all the time.
Well, if you want, you know, give us a bell. And again, I'll happily sit with you over Skype and tutorial. Show you basically the ropes and how to get your head around the game.
Yeah.
And we can have a few cheeky hunts and a chill out, really.
Yeah, definitely.
Love a cheeky hunt, mate.
Cheeky hunt. Yeah.
Cheeky hunt.
Should we talk about the same thing? Oh, shit. I'm terrible.
Yeah, that's my shout out. On to Jack or Matthew.
Jack, do you want to go first?
Yes, I can. As previously mentioned, there's now 1,000,001 Pokemon Go groups all over Facebook and Twitter. I just wanted to give a shout out to a few of them that I've sort of joined. Pokemon Go Hampshire, Pokemon Go Southampton. There's two of them for some reason. There's two Southampton groups. I don't understand why. Maybe you should merge into one. Three! Yeah, they all merge into one and make it easier. God.
Yeah, I know.
So complicated, guys. And also Pokemon Go Bournemouth and Paul, which is basically the newest, again, a newer group from the Street Pass group. Like I said, from that poor girl the other day, and she got really bullied, and they were really supportive, and I think they definitely fully deserve the great support they're getting so far. They've really done well with it, and doing a lot in the next couple of weeks.
Mhm.
and you don't have to be the biggest and the best. You can be the smallest and the most intimate and give just as good quality or even probably better than the giant group where everyone seems to disappear into thousands of numbers.
Yeah.
So I actually really like all the little pages because there seems to be a lot more family going on that way. Mm. And everyone really knows everyone.
I think, for every like negative post about gaming and Pokemon lately, there's been about 101 positive things. So it's just like, you know, it's, I'm quite happy that these groups are opening up and people are actually going out and enjoying themselves. And that's what that we wanted from Street Pass groups.
Yeah, Street Pass basically groups, the community just gets together and fights, well, say fights back, but just shows them wrong. And it's like, well, you're totally wrong, guys, because this is what it is, actually.
But yeah, anyway, and check out Street Pass UK. There's loads and millions of groups on there, and you can go and join all theirs, join all their groups.
You're pretty much guaranteed to find a local group nowadays.
Yeah, there's millions of the things now. So,
yeah, and that's good. That's what we want.
I know there's also another new group opened up in Winchester as well, and they've got their first... Yeah, Winchester. And they got their first event on the 30th of this month as well. So check them out.
That's great.
So, yeah. I'll try to go to that one, but again, I'm also hosting... helping with a few other like Pokemon Go events. There's a charity walk happening in Southampton for every point we hit and give a pound or whatever, and it all goes to charity.
Pretty cool. Send me a link to that so we can put it on the page then.
I'll share it when I get a chance because it's still ongoing. But yeah, definitely. Because I think that's a good idea they could use over the country rather than just Southampton. It's a really good idea.
Yeah,
so other than that, I think that's pretty much covered most of it. Oh, there is also a Street Pass UK Pokemon Go group as well, which doesn't have many members in it at the moment, so go and add that and send me lots of abuse.
It's all good. Remember, it's not about the numbers.
Yeah, exactly.
Because we're all doing the exact same thing. We're supporting the gaming community from every inch and every corner of the UK. So, you know, I don't know. I really like it nowadays. I love it. It wasn't like this 10 or 15 years ago.
Yeah, it's definitely completely changed. I mean, I think it's brilliant. But other people are always going to think different. And, you know, it's just the way it goes. But as long as we enjoy ourselves, what matters, eh? So, Matt.
Well, I just like to play games.
Yeah, play games. Yeah, play games.
I like games. I do.
Matthew, any shout-outs?
Yes. Well, like I said for the Hyper Japan, I'd guess some shout-out goes to Nims and Barry for being great presenters for Nintendo's stage show. And I guess shout-out to Hyper Japan in general because they put on an even better event than last year.
Yeah.
Did you get any footage this year, Matt, of curiosity? I know you did a little walk
around. I just got some pictures. Okay. I will be writing an article on Nintendo's presence at the event and some games,
which you'll be able to find at
VGTribune.com. But more on that in a bit. Let me see, I can't really think of too much else. Yeah, it was great seeing like other people there at the event. James Belden, Dragonash, I met him. Lucas from DS London.
Everyone knows
Street Pass London. Street Pass London people. You know, I remet a lot of cool people, and I also just interacted with some other people as well. But yeah, like, not too many shout-outs, really.
I think we had loads there.
Yeah, that was a good few.
yeah, a decent few. So that is almost going to be it from us here. Just a final couple of words. You can find the podcast over on Podomatic and iTunes. Our Facebook and Twitter. Our Facebook is NPodcastSystem. Our Twitter handle is nPodcastSystem and our email is nintendopodcastsystem@gmail.com. Angela and the others at Monsanto Offline. Angela and the others at
On HUD online. Yes. Is that,
everywhere, just everywhere.
Actually, the reason why we called it Mon Hunt offline is because in Japan they don't say Monster Hunter, they go Mon Hunt because it's quicker to say it.
Oh.
So, okay. You know, you go Monster Hunter, go Monster Hunter, or you go Mon Hunt, oh, Mon Hunt, and they just get out the guesses. So, nah. We stole Japan's word for Mon Hunt. So don't forget it's called Mon Hunt.
Mon Hunt.
Nice.
So,
or I have to get you in a headlock and you might like it.
Where can people find you guys, like on Twitter or Facebook or anything like that?
If we've you guys got want to Facebook, share. We've got Twitter, we've got events, we've got
Facebook and Twitter are our main hangouts.
Yes. We do have an email, but that's for kind of like if you want to have like book stuff and things like that. But yeah, if you just go on Facebook, Mon Hunt Offline. If you go on Twitter again, Mon Hunt Offline. We've got Team Palico as well. Team Palico is kind of our alias on Facebook, isn't it, Izzy?
Yeah.
So, and we've got quite a big Team Palico. We've got like 14 volunteers now that work with us.
Wow. Is it to your point, step back a step? We do actually do a lot of sort of joint events with other groups. You know, some of them mainly gaming related, some of them not. So, I mean, if anyone's listening and they are interested in doing a group event or just like a joint project with us, message us, promote it. Like, we're happy to help out, and we, you know, we love doing these community events. So anything where it's getting people together and having a bit of a game, we'd be more than interested in taking part.
It's exactly the same from us as well. If anyone ever wants us to share anything on our podcast pages, is some way in VG Tribune when possible, if Matt's allowed to, I don't know, but. We're more than happy to share anything. Just please let us know. We need performance or anything, or events. So yeah, cool.
Well, what we'll do is we'll let our hunters know that we've been in your podcast, and we'll put you up on the page. And then when you've got it ready to go, give us a bell, and we can just go listen to it for a whole 2 hours and 22 minutes.
Do it.
Never stop listening.
Yeah. thanks, guys.
That's fine.
So you can find myself at HeySkibbo on Twitter. You could also find my articles on VGTribune.com. That's where the podcast is as well. Jack, where can people find you?
I'm on the internet. At Twitter, I am at Gorny7789. We are also... I'm sort of trying to sort out Street Pass Southampton and trying to get a few more events going for them as well. So that's at Street Pass Southampton. On Twitter and Street Pass Southampton on Facebook as well. So add them and we'll try and organise some things the next couple of weeks. So. Woo! Sam?
That was a bit of a curly. Oh.
Sorry.
You could.
We've lost him.
Jeez.
Sam Spade.
I'm still it right. I'm sorry. You can find me on Twitter at SamSpade_UK. You can also find me both on Facebook and Twitter, Sam Spade Gaming, as well as my YouTube channel.
It's amazing. Go watch all the videos.
You can find him in my living room in the mornings when I'm having breakfast on my TV. About levels he's stuck in for 6 hours and he has to pause the game and re-go back into it. It's all good. We love it.
I will keep doing it until I'm blue in the face. It's amazing. Any suggestions, any ideas, please send them my way.
I've got an idea.
Huh?
I've got an idea.
Oh God, what is that?
Get good. We do need to sort out this. We need to sort out that we can do this. This actual one we want to do. There's like some other videos, but once we're all organised with equipment and stuff, we can talk about that more in the future. So
we will. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, thank you very much for having us on. I've got like 80% battery.
Oh dear.
Thank you for coming on.
Do you? Guys, really Twitter names your own personal stuff or anything quickly? Or
well, we use the main one, so it's, you know, Twitter is at Mon Hunt Offline.
Yeah.
And then Facebook again, just search Mon Hunt Offline, you can't really miss us.
Danny, what's your Twitter?
Mine's Caffeine Dreamer, but no one can spell caffeine, so you can go to danny.media. I'll take you there as well.
Dan, Gary, what's yours?
Mine is Solar Molars.
Solar what is?
Solar Molars!
Like Solar
Molars.
Yes.
Yes. Oh, okay, my God. He's got some toofy Twitter going on, okay. And mine is Monhan Offline. I used to have a Twitter, but not anymore, so I just use the Monhan Offline one. Yeah.
Cool.
The birthday. Nah. We're still hunting.
So what were we up to?
15 now, definitely
15. 15.
And we haven't failed a quest yet.
We did a Gamoth, which took a while. They're really big. They certainly take up a bit of time, but.
No, man.
Well done, guys. Keep it up. Keep it up. Keep going.
As soon as you get the game, give me a PM so I can play with you guys.
I will. I'll let
Do it.
Always welcome.
Cool. That wraps it up then.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's a goodbye from Monhan Offline. And a goodbye from. Ooh. Oh, my kitten just did a massive jump.
Very quickly, what's the ending music, Angela? What will be the ending music?
It's got to be quest complete, but my throat's...
Goodbye.
So long, farewell.
All right.
Get off my internet, leave me alone.
That'll do.
Thanks for having us on, guys.
Thank you all for coming on. No, it's been very friendly, very cool.
Thank you so much for coming on to the show. It was great having you on. Great fun.
As I said, give us a bell anytime. We're always about. If you need any support, let us know. And I'll see you with my organic yogurt and seeds and nuts for breakfast in the morning then.
Hey!
A lot more organic. Leave me alone. Night, guys. Have a great night.
Night.
Bye.
So, yeah. So, those were our wonderful guests. Hope you enjoyed having them on, as well as the episode in general. So, yeah. That wraps up for episode 28. We're approaching episode 30 now. That's weird. Yeah. So, thank you all so much for listening. Take care and happy gaming.
Happy gaming.
Bye bye. I'm gonna go catalect Pokemon. Bye.
9. So of course the intro where we introduce you guys and you just say the music that you're going to be doing for the intro, then we go into the news. Pardon?
We could sing it.
You're going to sing it.